Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's Summer Golf Wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and State Golf Representative Sophie Hilditch.
Thanks, Wallace. Yes, hello, everyone. This is another episode of Hooked on Sport. Our focus is the Simpson Cup. Round one is behind us, and we are going to spend some time talking about a couple of the clubs who are in the fight of the Simpson Cup this year. Thaxted Park Golf Club, who have had a remarkable story of resilience over the last 7 or 8 years, and the promoted Mount Osmond Golf Club, who had a tough match against Royal Adelaide on the weekend, but we're going to take a deep dive into the boys from the Mount and how they plan to track their way through the season. Sophie Hilditch, her expertise and insight to join us a little bit later on, but we've had a couple of the key members of both the Thaxted Park and the Mount Osmond Golf Club join us. From Thaxted Park Golf Club, their manager, Cody Sherritt, has joined us. Cody, welcome to Hooked on Sport.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Pleasure to be here.
And from the Mount Osmond Golf Club, Ben Walters. Ben, thanks for your company.
My pleasure.
Ben, let's start with you, mate. Mount Osmond on the weekend ran into Royal Adelaide, a semi-finalist. I reckon that's probably par. You went down 5-2, but a win and two halves out of the seven matches, I think that's not a bad performance first up. How did you assess it?
Yeah, we felt like we were in most games. We lost a couple in the back end, myself included. But we're in most games. Like you say, a couple went down 18, one went down the 17th. So we felt like we were in the match. And as we know from our experience up in Simpson Cup a couple of seasons ago, you need to be consistent for the full 18 holes because you certainly don't get many chances come your way if you don't take them up at the level. So, yeah, it was a reasonable hit out for us, and we're looking forward to improving as the season goes on.
You ran into a young lad, Hudson Haynes, got you 4-2 in the end. Confident young kid. How was the match?
Yeah, pretty good. He hit a lot more fairways than I did, that's for sure. So that was the big difference probably. He didn't probably putt as well as he would like. Young Hudson, having played with him a bit at Club Champs at the Mount, being a former Mount member. Yeah, he was a lot straighter than me off the tee, and that probably where the game was perhaps won and lost. I lost a couple of balls that sort of gave him a couple of holes, but he's improved a lot. It seems like more of a man every time I see him than what he was a couple of years ago when I first laid eyes on him at the Mount. He was just a boy, but he's getting it out there a bit further off the tee, and his game's improving in leaps and bounds.
It's interesting you make the point, Ben, about a youngster playing at a Tier 2 club and moving to a Tier 1 club, which is a good opportunity to bring Cody Sherritt in. It's an issue that you faced a little bit this year, Cody, but before we get to all of that, went down 6-1 against the Vines, who have been a very strong club in this competition for some time. What were your takeaways from the contest?
The boys battled a little bit, but I think... I think there was a few positives to take from it. Young Lockie Matthews, one of our up-and-coming kids, he had a great win over a good player. So that's definitely a positive. And the rest of the boys just need to get their act together and perform better this week. And, hopefully we can – I mean, it's not going to get any easier playing Kionga at Tea Tree Gully, but hopefully we can be competitive. And you never know. Stranger things have happened. If four of the Cooey boys have a rough day and four of our boys – can improve a little bit or a lot, we might make it interesting. But we'll see how we go.
We'll talk about one or two of the outs in a moment, but Pacey Lyle making his return to the club, pretty important, I would have thought.
Yes, fantastic to see young Pacey come back to the club, and he's been putting in a lot of hard work and playing some really solid golf at Thaxted on a Wednesday sometimes and a Saturday. He didn't quite get the result he was after this week, but hopefully he'll bounce back and, can get a win this coming week.
I saw a little bit of his stuff on social media. He's a determined young man. He said that he was really disappointed with how he played and was pretty determined to grind it right out this weekend and hopefully turn it around at Tea Tree Gully this coming weekend.
Yeah, he's got good work ethic, so I'm sure he'll be out there this week practicing and potentially trying to improve anything that might have let him down on the weekend. And, yeah, hopefully it all comes together for him this week and, yeah, he can get the win that he deserves.
You talked about it doesn't get any easier. You've got Cooyonga up at Tea Tree Gully this weekend. Of course, you'll come up against a young lad named Lachlan Oakes, who was part of your team last year. And we were talking about, or Ben was making mention about Hudson Haynes, who went from Mount Osmond to Royal Adelaide. I don't know what the solution is, but it does seem tough that, you know, you develop these players and you can't blame them for going on to the Tier 1 clubs, but it just adds to the degree of difficulty of the situation that your club finds yourself in, that you develop these very, very good young kids and suddenly they're playing against you.
Yes, it is a tough one, but, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, Saxted's a great learning facility for these kids to develop their game, and unfortunately we just probably don't have the finances behind us to, you know, build some of these facilities that the Tier 1 clubs have. But, I mean, it's great to see them, yeah, go on with their golf. Lockie's a great kid. Hopefully he doesn't play great this weekend and we can knock him off. But, yeah, no, it is. It's good to see some of the kids that have come through Saxted, you know, going on with their golf and, yeah, playing well.
Cody, and I'll come back to Ben shortly, but I think it's 8 years now that you've been up in the top flight. And I remember the final that you won was against Mount Osmond at Glenelg. And you never really know, are you going to stay up? Are you going to bounce back straight away? But it's been pretty incredible the run you've had to remain up in the top flight for as long as you've done.
Nah, we're, yeah, really resilient club. And, yeah, it's sort of that never give up sort of attitude. And, yeah, you're right, we're hanging in there. It's been a long time since we've sort of tasted success at that top level. I think looking back, it was 93, 94 we went back-to-back there, but we had some pretty handy players in the squad with, you know, Justin Cooper, Adrian Percy playing at that time. But, yeah, hopefully we can just get some young kids to hang around long enough to keep a squad together and get back up there and, you know, worst case, stay up there, but maybe even be able to pull one off and snag a win at some stage.
Ben, you were in the Simpson Cup 2 years ago after being promoted, bounced back straight away. What were your takeaways from that? What do you take from that season that you hope to, like, well, obviously the goal is to stay up in 2026.
Yeah, look, it was probably the first time around. I think it was 28 years since the Mount had been up in Simpson Cup, so the novelty factor was probably a real thing for us, playing down the Sandbelt, something that the club hadn't done for so long. So I think we went in with a bit of that attitude, and the eyes become wide open fairly quickly with some of the guys that you're playing, and just the level. Most of us are 40-year-old plus guys who perhaps enjoy a red wine afterwards as much as the golf. So you know, when you're playing some of these young kids from down Cooyonga or any of those clubs that are training most nights of the week and they're putting in a lot of time and their short games are incredible, that, you know, that I guess opens your eyes up fairly quick to what you're in for. So I think we've seen that. We know what to expect. We're a little bit better prepared with some of our, I guess, our attitude around practice and what it's going to take. So hopefully that, and a bit of experience perhaps, you know, keeps us in good stead for the season.
Todd Bond, a good mate of mine who oversees the program, did the expectation around practice and around getting the group together in the lead up to the season, was that lifted a little over the course of the last 4 or 5 months?
Yeah, well, he certainly, I mean, he put it to us what we want to do, because all of us have, you know, work and family and businesses to run and things like that. So it is hard for us older guys to get out and practice as much as some of the young guys do. But yeah, we just took it on ourselves to make sure that we were, you know, prepared better and spending a bit more time at short game stuff. And we've had Joey Hodge run our coaching stuff for the last 2 or 3 years, which has been great. Obviously, you know, one of the best young players to come out of the state in the last few years, and, you know, knows it being a Simpson Cup winner at Cooyonga. So his help has been great the last few seasons as well.
Ben, just take us through your team. Andrew Edwards has been around for a long time, a name that I'm pretty familiar with, and a guy who can get hot on his day. But just share with us a bit about your team, who they are, what they do, and what they bring to the table.
Yeah, well, I'll start at the top. Iceman Dan, I didn't think he, when he came back to the Mount probably 4 years ago, I think one of his handicap rounds were back in 2009. So he did marathon running and all sorts of things. Come back to golf, and he has won three club champs in a row. Had a half on the weekend.
Wow.
So he's another guy, mid 40s, just a good ball striker, but doesn't get a lot of time for practice as a PE teacher at Saints Girls. But just a good golfer, and you know, he competes with the best players at number one every week, like he did on Sunday. Ken Chan's another guy, you know, Hookie's been around the Mount for a long, long time. Just a solid performer, has been there and done everything at the Mount. So, you know, he's a tough competitor as well.
I will jump in about, I've got a story about Ken Chan. We played it was either quarterfinal or a semi-final of a club championship at Mount Osmond. He won 8-6. So early finish for the both of us, Ken. Just absolutely dusted me. He was making putts and apologising. That's how bad he felt for me. It was one of the all-time dustings.
Yeah, he's got me a couple of times as well in the same spot. So, yep, we've all been there with Kenny. We've got Zach Fieldings, a guy from the Mid-North who's come down to play for us this year, hit some hellacious bombs, like hits huge ball, plus one or two handicapper, so he's a handy inclusion. Dylan Wan's a young up-and-coming fellow, one of the fellows that is actually under 40 in our team. Him and Zach, he's a trainee at the, well, not a trainee, but he's working at the Mount, so he's spending a ridiculous amount of time on his game and has got his handicap down and he's playing some good golf. Myself, Nick Hill's probably the one, he won on the weekend, been around the Mount for a long time. You probably know Nick, and his father, John, has, I think his father's got 9 hole-in-ones and so many club champs and all the rest of it. Poor old Nick hasn't got a hole-in-one yet, but he's been a solid player at the Mount for a long time.
John's name is on that honour board up there many, many times.
Yep, it certainly is. And then you've got the heir to myself bringing up the rear. So that's about the squad. plenty of experience in regards to walking around the track at Mount Osmond, and some of us are getting a bit more of a taste of the Sandbelt. So, yeah, I mean, we've won 2 out of the last 3 A2, so I guess we've proven ourselves to be good enough. It's just about competing with the best now and be a little bit more consistent through the 18 holes to give yourself a chance of winning some matches.
Cody, you know what's coming. If you can take us through your team, we've talked about Pacey and one or two others, but just share with us your team, where they come from and how they fit into your group.
Yeah, we've got young Pacey. He's playing one. He's, a really good kid and, very good player, so hopefully we'll see him have a really good season. Brother Jordan, he's... Yeah, ex-pro, he could play, learned everything he knows off me. he's a very good player, but, you know, these days he's a little bit different, commitments with family and work and whatnot. Still loves getting out there, but I'd say he'd be a little bit rustier than what he used to, but he's potentially able to put a good round together and might be able to knock off his opponent. We've got young Leon, who's our superintendent, actually. So, yes. I don't know, I think he'll definitely do well at Faxted. I don't know how he'll go around the other courses. He's over from Sydney, moved over here. So I don't think he's got much of a background knowing the courses here in Adelaide. So I'll give him that as an excuse, potentially, if he gets knocked off or whatnot. But, yeah, he's a pretty handy player. He's a bit of a bomber. I haven't seen him hit one straight yet, but he can get them out there. Young Lockie Matthews, very good player. He's improved a ton over the last few years. I remember giving him a lesson when I started at Faxted close to 10 years ago, and he battled to get it in the air. So he has come a long way. And, I think he's really, going to improve as he gets a bit older, maybe a bit stronger as well. Who else? We got Jamie Dunnicliffe, our ex-president. He's played a little bit of pennant golf, but I think he falls in the same category as some of the guys, just unable to get out and play as much as he'd like. So, again, he's more than capable of putting a good round together. Whether he does or not, we'll find out. Matthew Hart, again, he's a good player on his day. He's played a bit of B-grade pennant last year. We've given him a run in the A's, and hopefully we'll see him put some good golf together. And Julio, our anchorman, again, he's played a bit of B pennant over the last few years, and hopefully, yeah, we can see him put something together and just, you know, make the other guys, you know, feel like they've got a game on their hands, and, you know, he might be able to snag a couple of wins as well. But it's definitely going to be a tough season for us. You know, we've had numerous young fellas leave, which is not ideal, but again, we wish them all the best, and hopefully their golf will continue to improve with wherever they go. But I feel like we've got a solid enough team. And like I said, I think at that level, everyone's capable of putting a good round together on the day. And if, you know, the so-called, you know, favourites to a degree, you know, down on the sandbelt have a bit of a day off, there could be a bit of an upset. And that's what we're hoping for. But it should be an interesting season nonetheless.
Cody, you talked about your brother Jordan, who's still playing at this level. Tell us about your own story in golf, because you've had quite the journey yourself.
I have. I started playing at Flagstaff as a junior back in 2000 when I was 14. And loved it there. And then I was lucky enough to get an apprenticeship up at Blackwood with Matthew Dent. So I did 4 years with Matty, learned a lot off him. He could be grumpy at times, but I think it was for the better. I learned a lot off him, and it sort of helped me now running my own shop, sort of knowing what he was going through back then, just with behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't see as a young kid when you're just at the counter serving people and whatnot. You know, there's a lot more to running the business than what I understood back then, so I could definitely see why he'd get a bit grouchy at me and, be a bit upset with some of the things I did. After my traineeship, I went out on the tour for a couple of years and really enjoyed it, just playing the Pro-Am circuit, played a few Tier 2 events like the Vic PGA and whatnot. My claim to fame is I won the New Caledonia Open in 2010, and I played with a young fella who was 16 at the time, Cameron Smith, and watched him in the first round shoot 65. I had 69, and I thought, oh, okay, I played pretty good there, and this kid's knocked me off by four, because I'd never heard of him before. He was sort of, just coming through the ranks just as an amateur golfer playing some pro events. But then he battled a little bit the next 3 days, and I just kept it together and ended up winning the event. So, my claim to fame is, you know, I knocked off Cam Smith in a professional event. I mean, I don't tell anyone that he was 16 at the time, but that doesn't matter. But, I mean, he's obviously doing what he's doing now, and it's great to see. And I think for Australian golf, it's in good hands with fellas like him and, you know, Elvis Smiley of late, Herbert, Leishman's a great guy as well. So it's good to see.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right that you're still running a pro shop and he's got nine figures in the bank.
I'm going to have to sell a lot of Gatorades and a lot of chocolate bars to sort of match his bank account. But you never know. Someone might come in and, you know, really need a big bunch of them. So I'm waiting for that to come through the door. It hasn't happened yet, but who knows? Stranger things have happened. But, I'm enjoying my time at Flagstaff. It's a fantastic club. The members are great. You know, the course has had its challenges, but I feel like with this new committee that we've got up and going, there's some exciting things happening. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next few years to see how it all unfolds.
I haven't been up there for a couple of years, to be honest, but there were some changes made about, I reckon, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little bit further back than that, Cody, and I was really impressed with some of the work that was going on. And I know that finances are not infinite. It would be lovely to be able to do all 18 at once, I'm sure. But I think you've got a really nice blank canvas to work with there.
Yeah, no, the course has come a long way, especially since I joined. They've made some fantastic changes. The greens and, you know, surrounds have always been, you know, arguably some of the best in the state. You know, we get a lot of positive feedback in that space. Obviously, battling with water at times, the fairways can get a little bit crispy. But, you know, I think as long as the greens are quite neat and tidy, it's, and we've seen it with some of the juniors coming through, you know, how good they get in a sense, I think. They develop their short games and then, you know, as they work on their swings and improve that aspect, their short game sort of takes them to a bit of a new level. And, the course, the front nine is really neat and tidy. You know, it's quite a short course, but the defence are the greens. They get quite quick, quite slopey. And you sort of go around there thinking you should be able to shoot quite a low number, but you know, it's very difficult to do that. So it's a neat little course, and exciting to see what happens in the next few years with some of these changes we're making.
Ben, talking about courses, I'm obviously a big fan of Mount Osmond, having been a member there previously. Love it. I think the work that has gone on there has been outstanding. 18 really solid holes now. Give us your own thoughts on the course. I'm sure you don't want to give any secrets away, because it's going to be one of your weapons when you're at home in a couple of weeks' time. But just take us through how you see the course playing at the moment, in particular for those who haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, golf's in a sweet spot, obviously, with memberships high, and the game's probably never been more popular. So the Mount's one club that's certainly, like most, have certainly capitalised on that. And the membership's strong. There's even a wait list now and things like that. So they are investing a lot back into irrigation systems, which has started to happen. They've done up some greens over the last 5 or 6 years, as you know. So they're doing more work. And we've got a GM from South Africa who was at one of the best clubs in South Africa. So he's got a defined blueprint on what he wants the course to look like. So he's been great for the place, get stuff done. There's been all sorts of works go on since he's arrived. And because the club's got a bit of extra cash in the bank, they can do that. So a bit like what Cody said, I think it's a smallish track. It's not that long, and you think you can get after it, but you end up, if you're not sure, you end up in some weird and wonderful places at the Mount. And unlike perhaps, you know, your track at the Royal, you can just blast away and doesn't, in some holes, get you in trouble. Where at the Mount, you end up behind a big gum tree and you're staring a bogey in the face. So, or a double if you don't recover properly. So it is tricky. And we know some of the young kids who come up from the Sandbelt have often struggled up there in Vardens and stuff, because they think they can, you know, drive holes and do all this stuff. But it can bite you. So, and I think the greens protect it a bit as well. So there's a few three jiggles that go on up there that people just don't see breaks. And as you would know, some balls go the way that they don't look they should go. So that's always fun. A visitor come up for a look.
Read greens on memory there rather than what you look at. And there are some pins that, and look, I imagine you're going to use every advantage you've got, but you know, I know the back right pin on 10 is something that not too many are going to have seen in the past. There's a back right pin on 13 as well, which is really tough to get at. So I imagine when you do front up for your home game, there's going to be one or two of those out there that hopefully you can take advantage of.
You might be a doozy on 14 as well. I don't know whether you've been up there lately, but that green's been redone. So that brings in it, because it's a short par 5. But again, if you don't get it well off the tee, then you're in trouble potentially. So yeah, we have Cooey at home, so it's obviously a big ask to take them on at home, but we're looking forward to that as a challenge. We look forward to welcoming him up at our place and taking him on up there.
Do you have a look? I don't think anyone is expecting that Mount Osmond's going to be there on the last weekend, but do you have a realistic target? Obviously, staying up would be one goal, but have you sort of set yourselves where you'd like to finish up?
Yeah, good question. Look, I think anything like this, you can't just, I guess, aim for the bottom. We got experience 2 years ago, and we understand the level you have to be at, but I think you have to shoot for the top four, because you have to go after some wins. So that's what we'll be trying to do. And obviously, you know, if we can get some wins or a couple of wins, we'll stay up. But I think if you aim for the top four, you know, that's where you have to be looking at. So, you know, I think we're all competitive enough. If we play our best golf, we just all have to find it. So that's where the goal is for the season.
Cody, just to wrap us up, mate, tell us the story of Daryl Scott. He's been a member at Thaxted Park for many, many years, has been heavily involved in your pennant program. I know Daryl very well through the old days, district cricket, then grade cricket, then premier cricket. He was a hard-nosed all-rounder for Sturt, and I imagine that hard nose that he's got has really rubbed off on your group.
Daryl's a great guy. He's really committed to the guys and wants to see them do their best. And you're right, he is very competitive, doesn't like losing. I've had him numerous times come in the pro shop and I shouldn't say throw the scorecard, it sort of felt like he's throwing the scorecard at me in disgrace, but good guy, very competitive, wants the best for the group, and he'll be out there trying to give him a bit of a rev up for the next, what, 6 games, and hopefully some of it can rub off and we can, you know, realistically get a couple of wins and maybe hang on to Simpson Cup again and start to build a team for some success in the future.
Yeah, well, boys, look, everyone loves a battler. I don't know that you guys are battlers. I mean, you're in Simpson Cup. You're not there for being battling golfers. You've obviously got a good bunch, both of you. Thank you so much for your time tonight. And look, all the very best. We'd love to see both of you have some success. Someone's obviously got to bow out, and whether it's one of you two or someone else, who knows. But we just thank you for your time and wish you all the best throughout the rest of the year, Cody and Ben.
No, appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Cody Sherritt from the Thaxted Park Golf Club there, Ben Walters from the Mount Osmond Golf Club. Very, very grateful for their time. As they depart, returning to Hooked on Sport is my co-host, Sophie Hilditch, with all her expertise and insight. Soph, a little under the weather by the sounds of things.
Yeah, Ben, as you can imagine, I've come off Live Adelaide, and as I always do, I have a bit too much fun. And I've fallen a bit under the weather, and I'm really upset because I was looking forward to going out and watching the Simpson boys down at Glenelg. But unfortunately, I was sworn by my partner, Darcy, to stay in bed. He was actually caddying for one of the boys, and he said, if I see you out there, there'll be words afterwards, because I'm not the best at resting, as listeners might know from my, what, October through to December throat that I could hardly speak on the podcast. So, no, unfortunately, I couldn't get out, but you were out there watching. What did you make of it?
Yeah, great opening day. One massive upset that I'm sure we will get to. It's really interesting to see, Soph, because normally this would be starting, what, May, I reckon the season has traditionally started. And now here we are, middle of February. We've had the LIV Golf tournament behind us that I'm pretty sure most people like you have spent a little bit too much time celebrating and perhaps not enough time working on their short game. But there was some exceptional golf played out there, some fascinating matches. Glenelg and Tea Tree Gully was extraordinarily tight. Cooyonga and the Grange, which we'll get to. What a battle of the heavyweights that was. And then a couple of clubs that I think coming in a little bit underdone weren't disgraced in Mount Osmond and Thaxted Park. We'll get to all of them. I'll let you steer us through from here because you haven't had an opportunity to see that much. Tell us who you want to talk about and I'll pass on my thoughts.
Well, let's jump straight to the ups. The Glenelg Tea Tree Gully game, and I'm assuming the Glenelg boys led us off on that first tee, the new first amazing tee that is a lot clearer. I've actually got a quick question. Were you there for the first tee? How many drivers were pulled out?
Look, I wasn't there for the first tee. In fact, I didn't see anyone off the first tee because I arrived at the club and I went pretty much straight out to the closing holes, which is what I wanted to keep a bit more of an eye on. So I'd be stunned if there was anyone hitting driver off that first hole. There, as much as there is some reward there, there's a heck of a lot of risk, isn't there, in particular with that water just off to the right. I'd be stunned if anyone did. So I didn't see it. Can't lay claim to it. Incredible match, though, this, Soph. If you have a look at the top end, Glenelg won the first two matches by 7-5 and 6-4, respectively. So that was Jackson Leonard, and we know he's a young talent. Cade Bryant, we know what a star he is. And if you look at that just in the order of the card, you think, oh, well, Glenelg are going to win this pretty comfortably. But, of course, you start at 7 and finish at 1, and there was some real blowouts in this match, but the fact is it went down to match number 5, which was young Mick Phillips, who took from Glenelg, who took on Grant Tobias, who's a returning star for the Tea Tree Gully Golf Club. And look, it happens to everyone, but Mick Phillips 10 foot with 2 putts to halve the match and somehow managed to 3 putt it. So poor old Mick will be feeling a bit sick about that, of course. But that was the difference between the two teams. And you know, what a huge difference that does make, because Tea Tree Gully, they'll head home this coming weekend to have claimed a scalp like the reigning champion Glenelg on their home course. That gives them just such momentum for the year. We talked about all of the returning players for Tea Tree Gully. Matthew McMahon's back. Chris Austin's back. Grant Tobias, as I said, is back. William Summerfield's back. Adam Summerfield's back. So they take some real momentum out of that. And Glenelg, suddenly, the challenge has arrived because they're out of home games. They haven't played any of the other Tier 1 clubs yet. They've got some work to do. So we know that they've lost one or two. In particular, Josh Hayes, no longer playing for Glenelg this year. So Yeah, great match. Congratulations to Tea Tree Gully. Glenelg so close, but you can be as close as you like, but if you don't get half a point, you get nothing.
Yeah, huge upset from Tea Tree Gully. And like you said, heading home next week. So it could be a great start for their season. Interesting, though. A lot of blowouts, a lot of big wins, big losses in that match, which you don't often see in Simpson Pennant. You nor often see the 2-1s and 3-2s, but there's a lot of 7-5, 6-4s in that. Now take us back to the second match out. That was Royal Adelaide against Mount Osmond. Royal Adelaide got the win. What did you make of that game?
Absolutely no friends lost at Mount Osmond. I think 3 of their 7 to either record a half or a victory is absolutely commendable for a team coming up and probably not really suited to Glenelg, as distinct from Royal Adelaide, a semi-finalist who you would expect know their way around it. Lot to like for Royal Adelaide as well. Billy White plays his first ever match at Simpson Cup and wins 4-2 over Dylan Wan. Hudson Haynes plays his first ever match at this level and wins 4-2 over Ben Walters. Anthony Olsen, experienced, didn't play at all last year in Simpson Cup, makes his return this year, won pretty comfortably. But Nick Hill gets over Matt Lawson. That's a great result for Nick Hill. I mean, he's got a long history at that golf club. His dad was a club champion multiple times. And then Zach Fielding gets a half against Will Arnold. Will Arnold has been a star of this competition for a number of years. Ken Chan took it very deep against Billy Cawthorne, only going down 2-1. And then in the end, Dan Searle halves with Alex Pacifico. Pacifico did an amazing job to get out of that because he was in the water off the tee on 18. Had to drop out, hit his third with a 3-wood to about 20 feet and two-putted that for par. And Dan Searle couldn't get it up and down from short left of the green. So, honestly, Mount Osmond should be very, very pleased with what they did there. Always a challenge, big level jump between A2 and Simpson Cup, and to take on a semi-finalist and to take some points off them, it couldn't be more impressed. Well done, Mount Osmond.
Well, take us over to the third game out. That's Kionga versus Grange. The two big hitters, Grange, were mentioned multiple times through some of the interviews that we've done with players to be the best team on paper, but Kionga did them on Sunday.
Well, I tell you what, both sides on paper, this is an absolute Galactico clash. So I don't know if we've seen two better on paper teams, maybe in the last 5 years of Simpson Cup golf, Soph. Jackson Cowles gets pretty comfortably beaten by Darren Baines. Cowles has been around for a long time, started his career at Glenelg, now at Kooyonga. Darren Baines dusted him 5-4. Lockie Oakes playing his first game for Kooyonga, having joined Kooi, moved on from Thaxted Park. What a huge asset he is. He won 6-5 over Angus Dungy. Alan Zinn's a name that we've been talking about. He beats Heath Richards 3-2. Blair Christie, the newcomer for the Grange, gets up over Freddie Castle. But then the story down the other end of the order, 3-2-1. Kooyonga's won all three of them. Malachi Marshall's beaten the former pro Jackson Bogdowski 2-1. Malachi Marshall, we're going to hear from very shortly. And Frank Vucic and Joel Durnford, well, they're just two massive ins for Kooyonga. Frank Vucic playing his first match since 2021. He was over in the US college system. And you'll hear from Heath Richards about him very shortly. And Joel Durnford missed the entire year last year with injury. He gets up over Alex Hendrick 3-1. Frank Vucic 3-2 over Ross Steedman, formerly on this show as well. So incredible performance from Kooyonga. I probably didn't see this coming. I was keeping a close eye on the scores throughout the day. Grange were a fair way ahead early and they've fought back incredibly well and won. Earlier today, Soph, I caught up with Heath Richards and Malachi Marshall. Starting off with Heath Richards, this is what they had to say. Heath, firstly, congratulations yesterday, mate. I know it wasn't your day, but it was certainly your club's day. What a huge result in what was one of the better lineups for both teams at Simpson Cup level in a couple of years, I would have thought.
Yeah, look, we were going into this match knowing it was going to be probably one of the hardest of the year.
I obviously didn't get their job done, but the boys did a great job. So, you know, this matchup I think is going to be probably shaping up to be the final match or one of the final matches. So we're very happy to get the win. Yep.
Couple of big ins for you guys. Frank Vukic back is huge. Joel Durnford back from injury is big as well. And they both did the right thing first up with big wins against tough opponents.
Yep, they're both of those guys can hit the ball a mile, which is a bit of an element that's needed up that top match. Yeah, around Glenelg too, they were taking lines that you know I wouldn't even dream about. So that's definitely a benefit to have up the order. Yeah, Frankie's going to Q School later in the year, so he's going to be in some good form leading up for that. We're going to reap the benefits.
Four in a row, lost in the semi-final last year. Does that, I guess, embolden the group to, I guess, reassert where you belong?
Yeah, look, we were really close last year. We obviously won every game in the lead-up, and then we just fell short in the semis, so that kind of hurt a little bit. But we're just going to take one week at a time, not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah, we're really looking forward to next week. The weather's looking pretty average, but yeah, 1 week at a time, and we'll go from there.
There's yourself, there's Fred, Frank, and Joel. We're talking about a lot of experience, but just the young man sitting across from you now. Just a couple of words on Malachi, who, I mean, look at him, he still shops in the junior section, but his golf just continues to impress.
Yeah, look, we're lucky to have Mal in the team. We're very fortunate position to have at the moment, you know, some experience, but also a few younger kids coming through. And yeah, Mal's he's going to be incredible next few years for us. Hopefully, he can kick on and win some national events and make some state teams. So yeah, we're very happy to have him in the team. And yeah, looking forward to it.
What off to Tea Tree Gully this week? Is there a way to play it? I mean, it can be a bit of a tough place to turn up for the Tier 1 clubs to go up to those tighter hillside courses.
Yeah, look, we've got our eye on the forecast too. It's going to be pretty wet the days leading up and then on Sunday. Yeah, we've played there a lot, so we kind of know there's different ways to play the course. You know, whatever you're feeling comfortable on the day, whether you take driver or you just keep it in play, leave that up to the guys to stick to their game plans. But it'll be more the weather, I think, that we're going to be worried about this week, making sure we prepare properly and, yeah, go and get the job done again.
Always good to catch up with you, mate. Thanks very much. If you want to hand over that little microphone to the youngster, Malachi, you had a huge challenge against Jackson Budowski. I'm sure you know a bit about him. Former pro, been on the tour. Yeah. Good challenge first up.
Yeah, no. When I heard about what he's done, I was pretty keen. It was going to be a good match. Started off, not my best stuff, but sort of just grounded out and came up with a win. So
interesting the way you said that. Pretty keen. You look forward to those sorts of challenges?
Oh yeah, for sure. I was really looking forward to it. Gonna be a lot of fun. So yeah.
Tell us a bit about representing Kuyonga. What does it mean to you, and what is it like to be in and around a bunch of guys who are cool heads but good players as well?
Yeah, no, it's pretty special because it's more than just you and your team. It's the whole club. They all get around it. Especially at the end of the year, if you get the trophy, it's pretty awesome when you go back to the club and everyone's all pumped up. So, yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Good group. Just good to be a part of the team.
You've obviously got a huge future in front of you. Does it help you knowing that, ideally we'd love to see you one day turn professional, you're playing on all sorts of different golf courses. The fact that you play Tea Tree Gully and then you're going to go to the Vines and then you'll be at Thaxted Park and then you'll be at Mount Osmond and all of these places that there's some quirks to them. Yeah. Is that good for your game?
Oh, 100%. You've got to adapt well, especially if you're going to try to be a professional, because all the courses are different. Different conditions, different grass, different just all sorts. So it's got to be adaptable. So it's definitely a good help. Yeah.
And what about you, mate? We talked about you took on Budowski. You try and pick out someone in the opposition lineup that you're happy to take on? Is that, or you just get who you
give? Oh, no, I get who I give them, but when it's someone really good, it's always good. So good to see where you stand.
What would it mean for you to be part of another Kuyonga win? I'm sure you're all disappointed with what happened last year.
Yeah.
Bouncing back.
Yeah, last year was tough because we played so good in the normal season and then just hit the semis and we were all just a bit, just wasn't happening.
Mm.
So getting one this year will be really good, especially given we've, felt what it's like. So really want to get it back.
Look forward to Tea Tree Gully?
Yeah, it's that's another pretty challenging course, I find. Pretty tight. You got to, just play smart shots, play good golf, really.
I mean, your specialty is your accuracy. Mm. I imagine, and it's interesting you say that you find it a bit of a challenge, but yeah. I would have thought that that's a place where your precision stands out.
Yeah, I do think I'm probably got a bit of advantage there, but you know, it's still pretty difficult. So, yeah.
Malachy, congratulations on your big win yesterday. We'll keep an eye out for how you track for the rest of the
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well done. Cheers.
So that's Malachy Marshall there, the young star of the Cooyonga Golf Club, after we heard from Heath Richards. So what do you make of Malachy Marshall? What a young star he's going to be.
Oh, isn't that just incredible, the courage? I just love how he finds out he's playing a pro and he doesn't shy away. Instead, he goes, I can't wait to beat this guy. It's just incredible.
It's so good. It's exactly the point I caught up with. I caught up with both of them today. They were a great chat. But, Malachy in particular, just, I've got this really tough guy to play. I mean, I'd be absolutely pooping myself, but he's rubbing his hands together, the young kid. He's going to be exciting to watch, isn't he? Where do you want to go from here?
Well, let's go to the last match straight away. Let's go to Thaxton Park and the Vines. The Vines had a huge win over Thaxton Park.
Yeah. 6-1, Soph. All the old bangers at the Vines have got it done yet again. Paul Gregory, 4-3. Chris Burns, 3-2. Rob Liddell, 6-5. Only Alex Germano, who's a good player, went down. He lost on the 17th hole, so went down on the 18th hole, 2 down. Tony Nobbs, Ben Pearce, Sam Earl. Ben Pearce in the team of the year last year, so good player. He also is a previous Thaxted Park player now at the Vines. Tony Nobbs, another one of the seniors getting it done. And Sam Earl, we had on this show last week. And again, he just stands up. I'm not off on the Vines just yet. They're going to have to find points at the top of the order. So Leon Blacker, Jordan Sherratt, and Pacey Lyle are going to have to find their points because I do think they do lack a little bit of depth. So Jamie Dunnicliffe, old cricket mate of mine, Matthew Hart, Julio Alejo, I think that those guys, if you can get maybe one point out of those three, you're going to be pretty happy. They're going to have to find the other 3 points out of the top four. And I think they'll have trouble with that maybe against the bigger clubs. And the Vines is obviously one of the bigger clubs these days. But I'm not giving up on them just yet, Soph. But certainly they're going to have to start to find some points and they'll need to do that this coming week against Cooyonga. They do get an opportunity against Cooyonga because a place like Tea Tree Gully is very, very similar to the way the Thaxted Park plays. So I do think that they are a chance against the big fish Cooyonga this weekend.
Yeah, Tea Tree Gully is really a leveller for a lot of those clubs because it does play differently and it really does favour the hills courses. So Tea Tree Gully, Mount Osmond, the Vines and Thaxted Park, it's a good track for them to come out. And it really brings the Glenelg, Royal Adelaide and the Cooyonga and the Grange boys back to kind of square one almost. It's not a course that you can bully around with driver, which is those four clubs. That's what their strength is normally. They can go around those sand belt courses, belt driver, wherever they like and get themselves out of trouble. Around Tea Tree, not as easy.
We've got new little categories to play in a moment, Soph, but just before we do, I'll just take you through the Bonner Cup scores. A2 starts next week. There's only 7 teams in A2 this year, which is interesting. Bonner Cup went to Royal Adelaide. Royal Adelaide got over Tea Tree Gully 4-3. Thaxted Park went down to Aston Hills. Aston Hills playing their first season of Bonner Cup. They won 6-1. They've got a couple of really good players at Aston Hills at Mount Barker, so they're going to be one to watch this year. Cooyonga got over the Grange. You know, what a heavyweight match that was in Bonner Cup. They won 4-3 there as well, and Glenelg 4.5, 2.5 over the Vines. So that's Bonner Cup. Let's just go back to Simpson Cup because they will be the standalone competition for the men this week before the Sanderson Cup kicks in when we'll see you in action, Soph, on March 8th. Just a couple of categories that I want you to take me through, and I'll have my own thoughts on this when we reflect back on Simpson Cup week one. Biggest reason to smile. Who do you think's got the biggest reason to smile in Simpson Cup after week one?
There's a few people to smile, but, I mean, you've got to go Tea Tree Gully, don't you? Getting over the premierships from last year at their home track, that is, I would be smiling ear to ear. That would have felt so good, heading up to the Glenelg bar and saying, boys, get me a beer. I just built the premierships at their home club on their newly renovated course I haven't seen before.
Good point. I'm going to go for Cooyonga, Soph. We had been trotting out the line that the Grange was the club to beat. I remember being at the club and talking to people going, oh, gee, the Grange just looked way too good. Spoke to Michael Mann in the car park and he was saying, yeah, gee, the Grange, they look red hot. Spoke to Hans Luteris, father of David Luteris, and he was saying, yeah, I've been watching. He's a Cooyonga man. and it looks like we're going to get blown away by the Grange. So for Cooyonga to find their way past the Grange in that environment and get a big win against the other real big fish, it almost certainly puts them in semi-finals already, Cooyonga, and I reckon they've got the biggest reason to smile right now. So if that was underwhelming, who would be looking at themselves in the mirror right now and saying that was underwhelming?
I mean, you've probably got to lean to Thaxted Park against the Vines. A 6-1 loss, only getting one win on the board. That's always a bit difficult. So Thaxted Park, look, a bit underwhelming. Like you said, you can't rule a team out after round one, not of the quality that is of Simpson. But Thaxted Park, I think they're probably looking at themselves in the mirror thinking, we probably should have got a few more wins on that board.
Glenelg for me, Soph. I don't think they would have stepped out ready to raise their flag from their premiership last year, taking on Tea Tree Gully, who finished sixth last year. Tea Tree Gully have transformed their lineup, but I still think Glenelg would have thought at home they were good things. It's fine margins, as I said. The Mick Phillips-Grant DeBias match was the one that swung at 3-4-4-3. But I reckon right now Glenelg would be feeling like, gee, that's just one that got away. We didn't have to do much to win that. We've blown it, and now we've lost any home advantage that we've got throughout the rest of the year. To wrap us up, Soph, who's got the biggest point to prove this week?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's almost easier to go with players than it is with teams at this rate in week one. But, look, I'm probably unfortunately going to have to go my boys, the Royal Adelaide boys, against Mount Osmond. Mount Osmond have just gone up from A2s, and I think Royal Adelaide would have been expecting to absolutely demolish the Mount Osmond team, but they only got the four wins on the board. I think, look, I reckon they're going to be coming out. They've got Tea Tree Gully next week at home, which is a tough game to have, particularly Tea Tree coming off just having won Glenelg. So I think not giving Mount Osmond an absolute schmollicking, I think they've got a point to prove next week against Tea Tree Gully at their home ground.
Fair enough. But so if I'm going to say the Grange, that's an absolute heavyweight fight. The Grange are going to be at the pointy end of the year. I'm not worried about them, but they've dropped that one to Cooyonga, and now they've got to take on the Vines at Tea Tree Gully. Gee, that's a tough ask. And could you imagine if the Grange, for all of their depth of talent, are 0-2 after 2 weeks? So I reckon they've got the biggest point to prove this weekend. The Vines, very, very professional outfit. They know their way around courses like this. They're not intimidated by playing away from their home. They can handle any sort of track. They're wise old heads. The Grange are going to have their wits about them. They're going to have to play very well if they're going to overcome the Vines. And if they don't, they're 0-2 and they're going to be right under the pump. So they have the biggest point to prove this week.
All right, it's a good hill hooky. A lot of interesting matches, a lot of interesting individual games within there as well, which, I mean, those categories, when we start to come to the pointy end, I think they might be starting to look at a couple of the individual matches as well, particularly when we start to choose the Simpson team of the year towards the end. But look, great start to the season. Couple of upsets, couple of little fight backs. Mount Osmond getting the 2 points against Royal Adelaide, I think, is great for Mount Osmond. That's a steady start. They would have been pretty nervous, like you said. It's a big jump into the Simpson. So I'm looking forward to next week, seeing what the boys have to show.
The caravan heads to Tea Tree Gully next Sunday. So if our preview show is going to drop Friday, you and I will lock horns as we look towards Tea Tree Gully next Sunday. We'll have a conversation with Sadira Bodiju, the captain of the Tea Tree Gully pennant team, as well as Anthony Olsen from the Royal Adelaide Golf Club. They're the two guys who are going to go head-to-head this week, so looking forward to our conversation with them. Looking forward to my conversation with you as well as we go around the grounds and talk about all things golf in South Australia and beyond. Hope you're feeling better by the time we catch up again, mate.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. Yeah, I'm sorry to our listeners. Unfortunately, even though I was sick, I didn't really get to watch much golf across the weekend, which is always quite upsetting. I was stuck actually watching Bridgerton because it was the only thing I could kind of zone in and zone out for. So I could tell you about Bridgerton if you would like.
Well, yeah, go on. Give me a quick Tracy. 30 seconds on Bridgerton, please.
Well, all I can say, Ben, it's a bit of soft porn actually. So that's all I've got for you.
So partying last weekend, soft porn this weekend. No wonder we've got so many new listeners coming on board. So they all want to meet you in real life.
Yeah, well, on that note, Hookie, I better let you go. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm trying to rest up.
We will catch you later in the week. Thanks so much for your company, everyone. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. And just remember, our preview of round two of Simpson Cup will come up later in the week. Thanks for your company.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.